This week on Tech Radio, AI isn't bad. It's just coded that way.
Hi, I'm Artemis. I am a computer-generated AI voice, and you're listening to Tech Radio.
Bring you the latest in tech from Ireland and the world. Welcome to episode 1010. This is Tech Central Editor-in-Chief Niall Kitson. Change of plan for Dusty this week. He's not on the mic, but he is with us. He's just had to be tied, gagged, sedated, and then thrown into the boot of this stolen Tesla because he didn't want to go where this episode is going. Because we're headed to the drive-in for a program of movies about sins against nature, security guards set to kill, and automated homes that hate you for leaving the immersion on. I'll be your driver, and no better person to be our navigator than Egrain Bright from the podcast What a Scream. We're low on petrol, full of popcorn, and I think our autopilot is getting notions. Let's hit the road.
From techcentral.ie, this is Tech Radio with Dusty Rhodes and Niall Kitson.
As I said, Egrain Bright is on the is on navigation duty. You've got a map, not using Google Maps, very important. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I definitely wouldn't trust me as navigation captain. I would get us very lost.
Well, just to lay out some ground rules and some things you're not going to hear on the podcast this week, we're talking about the dark side of AI. And Egrain, you've picked five movies and I've picked five movies. And there's only one ground rule as such. You will hear nothing from either of us about any of the following, right? Skynet, HAL 9000, Johnny Five, Chappie, anything to do with Star Trek, anything to do with Star Wars, or any discussion of Asimov's laws. This is unknown territory. I think we're in agreement on that, are we?
We are. There might be a little bit of a nod to one subject, but we're not going to go into it. It's fine.
Ah, okay. Nods are good. That creates a little bit of tension, a little bit of anticipation. So you start with, what is your first pick?
I chose Santa, now stay with me, from Christmas Bloody Christmas from 2022, which centers on basically a robot Santa that was originally created by the military. And it is then placed into toy shops at Christmas. It malfunctions and goes on a wild killing spree on Christmas Eve.
Oh my goodness. And how does that work out? Does he have like a naughty or nice detector? I mean, does he discriminate? Yep.
Nope, no discrimination whatsoever. Everything is on his kill target.
He's equal opportunities. Okay, right.
He is.
So I will not mention Asimov then. But okay, so what makes this movie stand out other than its miraculous, wonderful premise?
It is just, it's so grim, and it's like a violent delight. If you're into that kind of thing, which I definitely am, it is festive. For those who are not into the typical festive, and I know this is terrible. I'm on a podcast about AI and stuff, but I'm not the biggest fan about like robots or androids, et cetera, et cetera. But this one, there's something so joyful about it. And I think it's really interesting that we have this kind of, you know, what was meant to be a kill machine, which was built to kind of replace human soldiers, is then put into a Christmas toy shop. Like, that is the most ridiculous shit you'll ever hear. Like, chef's kiss. Love it. Love it.
it is almost, has that ring of, you know, I'm too old for this. You know, coming out of retirement for one last job. Yeah. I like the sound of it. Okay, right. Santa, you've started hot. What can I say? I have a feeling my choice now is going to be very stuffy in comparison, but I'm going to go back into the mists of time. I'm going to go back to 1927 and a little film called Metropolis, which I think we either have all seen or all claim to see or all think we have seen. because of the video for Radio Gaga by Queen. And indeed, it is a great movie. And there is a version that is actually scored by Brian May, which is quite entertaining in and of itself. And the female character in Metropolis, or rather the female robot character in Metropolis, her name is Maria, and she is a robotrix. I think that's the appropriate term, who kept the men of Metropolis in line by the power of love, literally. She her job was to seduce the men and keep them pliant and keep them in their place. A theme that I'm kind of picking on this because Metropolis is an OG science fiction film. And the idea of, you know, the sexy robot who is, you know, single-minded, it goes to that sort of femme fatale place in noir fiction. But it's also a trope that we've seen so many times since, you know. So, oh, the cold-hearted woman, oh no, she's just a robot. I think it's something that comes up now and again. But also, Maria has that wonderful, iconic, brilliant transformation scene where she's sitting in the chair in robot form and the lights descend and they come back up and lo and behold, she is person. I think it's a great iconic scene. I don't know. Are you a fan of Metropolis?
Actually never seen it. And I know it's going to be one of those things that people, you know, you say you haven't seen something and people go, what do you mean? But yeah, I've never seen it, but like I know the iconic kind of visuals, so I kind of feel like I've seen it. But yeah, you know what? It's on my list of to be watched, but that list is ever growing. So who knows when I'll get around to watching it?
I think we're all in that boat. Unfortunately, this is one of the bad things about having so much content out there is that knowing so much of it is good. I'm just having to draw the line and go, look, I'll have to take your word on this. I don't have the time. I think that happens I think it's an inevitable part of life now, unfortunately. Okay, right. So we have Santa and we have Maria, which I think is a city somewhere.
Is that not the Holy Mother Mary, Santa Maria?
So your second choice.
My second choice is The Red Queen from 2002's Resident Evil. Looking back, terrible film. However, it really marked a spot in my life where I got into a bit of a zombie kick. But it's based, obviously, on the video games. The Umbrella Corporation have an outbreak in their secret underground facility, and the T-virus is out and about, and the artificial intelligence, the Red Queen, seals what they call the hive and kills everyone inside, and this is how they all become zombies. And then we've got Alice, who is an amnesiac, and a bunch of kind of SWAT soldiers get trapped inside the hive. Looking back, I watched it again today, actually, in preparation for this. And one of the small fears I have, right? You know, those people that have like controls for their lights, to open their curtains, to like start their car. I'm like, this is the start of the Red Queen from Resident Evil. I will never get any of those things. So I'm like, I do not want to be locked down inside my own house and not able to get out. And this just plays, even though it's like terribly cheesy film, it plays on a real like fear of mine of modern day technology.
Yeah, I have to say the Red Queen would not have been on my radar, but I have serious issues with the Resident Evil franchise. It is the most abusive franchise for its viewers I think I have ever seen. Like, the first one is what it is, right? It's not it's not a great movie, but it's fine. It's quite watchable. The second one is kind of ridiculous. Specifically the scene where Alice comes in through a stained glass window on her motorcycle. I was like, okay, right, this is where we are. Fair enough. The third one, Extinction, I think, was actually a good movie. Like, if it didn't happen to be a Resident Evil movie, you still would have gone, actually, that was quite entertaining. That was nice. Everything thereafter, I just feel guilty for having watched it. You know, they don't put me in a good place.
You know what? I never went past two. I think I fell out of my zombie phase after two. My zombie slash new metal phase. Soundtrack is banging, though. Like, soundtrack is absolute banging. But yeah, and I've never had a want to continue on with the franchise. So there we go. Maybe I should do it.
Time saved. Time saved. Watch.
You're like, no, don't do it.
Don't do it. Watch Metropolis instead. You'll be happier. But yeah, the Red Queen actually, I think, makes a reappearance in the last one, I think. Mm-hmm. And you get to find out where the design of the Red Queen came from. So, you know, she's not a one and done character, not a one and done AI. But yeah, singular of purpose, I think, might be a good way to describe her.
Okay.
And a great line of dialogue she has as well, which I think, you know, it's that one good line that in that movie, I think, in total. You're all going to die, you know, I think. Delivered so well, so well. Okay, how's about I jump in with my number two? And I hope you agree with me on this. I'm going OG again. 1931, the original, the one, the only, Frankenstein. Now, I'm selecting this as an entry because, yes, Frankenstein's brain is a composite of other people's body parts. It's not an electronic device, but it is a form of intelligence distinct from humanity that we would expect. And it's something constructed by a person. So it's something you wouldn't expect. So in that, you know, using that frame, I would consider it an artificial intelligence. And my favorite bit in the film, and it also happens to be the most tragic because it's what sets up everything else thereafter up to, you know, the destruction of the monster, is the scene with the little girl by the river, where the monster is, you know, he's walking by a riverbank and he sees a little girl at play, and he tries to play with the girl in a very childlike way. But of course, he's 7 feet tall and almost as wide and has no concept of strength or, you know, how, or fragility or anything. And so this terribly tragic event happens where he ends up killing this little girl, not out of, you know, animus or anything like that, but just he doesn't know better. You know, he's a, you know, a giant pet gone slightly awry. And I think for that reason, that one moment, I think that is the dilemma of artificial intelligence right there, where you might have, you know, the physical infrastructure to be human, but you're not. You're something else. And that's what happens. You know, that's what leads the rest of the movie to its tragic conclusion. You know, the monster isn't, you know, it's not an evil monster. He is, and he's trying to make his way in the world in a very rudimentary way. But he's just completely ill-equipped for it, which is the tragedy at the center of the story. I don't know, Grant, you've probably seen this one.
I have. It's one of my favorite films, actually. This and its sequel, Bride. I completely agree with you. Like, when I was trying to put my list together, I was kind of thinking about Splice. I don't know if you remember that film. So yeah. I was kind of thinking about that, and it led me on to thinking, like, what is AI? And basically, I simplified it because I have a very simple mind. Basically, it's anything that's created outside of the natural order of things that has been brought about to replace humankind in some form, whether it's like career or, you know, companionship, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I totally get the vibe when you suggested Frankenstein. I completely 100% agree with you.
I think Splice is a brilliant example of this in play as well, because what is added to the mix in Splice, and it's quite an old film at this stage. I think it was, what, 2008-ish? And I don't see it in a lot of places, so I hope it's not on the verge of being forgotten or anything like that. But the plot is basically you have two scientists. Okay, help me out with this. And they create a being, I suppose.
Yeah.
And they're
a chimera, basically, yeah.
A chimera, yeah. Of a human and was it lizard DNA they used as well?
Possibly. Or are we getting onto Jurassic Park there? Is it tree frog DNA?
they create this being, and it takes on, it adds an additional kind of creepy undertone to it, especially with the male scientist, because they are they meant to be a husband and wife team?
It's, yeah, the two scientists are husband and wife, and it's a bit nefarious, isn't it? A bit dodgy what they end up doing.
It's quite dodgy, which I suppose will lead more people to watch the film now. So that's great. If you can find it, watch it. Let us know what you think. and to look at another film that kind of borrows that trope, Poor Things, which were just out of Oscar season now. I hadn't a clue what the plot was. So when I start seeing contraptions being attached to people's heads, I was like, oh, is this that kind of story? Brilliant. I'm on board. Let's see where we go with this bizarre film and its hinky dialogue. But so Frankenstein, Splice, Bride of Frankenstein also. It is brilliant. It is the scream of its day. I think it's a very self-aware movie. And what's that actress that played the bride? Was it Ilsa Fisher?
Elsa Lancaster.
Mm. Playing two roles. One of Mary Wollstonecraft at the start, where she is sewing. And then the part of the bride, where she has that amazing scream that broke 1,000 glasses somewhere. Wonderful movies all. Okay, back to you.
So my third choice is The Protectors from Chopping Mall from 1986. Pure 80s schlock, exploitation-y. It is centered on a shopping mall in which teenagers decide they're gonna hang out after dark and go to the furniture store, crack a few cold ones or whatever, as they did in the 80s. But this shopping mall is protected by these high security robots that turn into crazy killing machines and go around trying to kill these teenagers. It's basically a slasher. Obviously, it was brought up in the slasher boom. So it's basically a slasher with these little robots that remind me of the Borg from Power Rangers. I don't know if you remember the little robot guy from Power Rangers.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember
him? Yeah.
I'm doing weird hand gestures here. Like, you can't see me, but I'm doing weird hand gestures. Yeah. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there. Yeah, basically. There we go.
I remember this film when it came out, because it was a mid-80s movie, and we had, of course, video libraries at the time. And this movie had the best cover. It had absolutely the best cover. I was convinced this was going to be the scariest movie I would have ever seen, because it was a shopping bag, like a paper-style shopping bag, full of body parts. Like there was like a stray eyeball, and I think there was a fist, and I think there was something else in there as well.
Yeah. It's a bit misleading though, isn't it? Because the arm that's holding the shopping bag is like an ant, you know, it's like a human hand, but it's got all the wires sticking out. So it's quite misleading, because the robots in this, they had like the hook, the robot hooks, the pincers, kind of not so much human-like. So yeah, but that was a thing of the 80s, wasn't it? The covers were almost always as, like, more scarier than the actual film itself.
Yeah, it's almost that Ed Wood effect of, you know, show me a poster. Okay, I'll have a movie to go with that in 3 weeks. Fine. But Chopping Mall, I think, is a great addition, because having gotten accustomed to, you know, the Terminator as the most fearsome, murderous machine in cinema from 1984, you have Chopping Mall, and these things do look ridiculous. They do look ridiculous. They're the Paul Blart of homicidal robots.
Oh my God, what a comparison. It's so true, though. It's so true. That needs to be its new tagline.
But you can actually find this movie on YouTube. It's up there, so you don't have to spend hours trawling through, you know, obscure searches on streaming engines or whatever. Some of these movies do pop up on YouTube, and I don't think that many people will be chasing the rights for royalties nah. Chopping Mall. But yeah, a wonderfully trashy movie from a wonderfully trashy
fantastically.
Time. I mean, straight to video movies were, you know, we can watch them now and appreciate them. Like, there'd be the likes of, you know, Robot Jocks or Apex or, you know, and of course Chopping Mall. They're all of a piece, that sort of hyper color, hyper gore, park your brain at the door kind of stuff. Very much a fan of them. More so as I get older. Do you find that as well, that your sort of your standards change when you get older?
Your standards drop, is it?
I think the more you watch something, or the more you watch a genre, the more you sort of figure out, well, this fits in and makes it interesting, as opposed to, well, that was rubbish.
Yeah, I think, you know what, you become less wide. I become less serious, especially as a, you know, a horror fan. When you're kind of young, you're like, what's the most effed up thing I can watch? And it's got to be super scary and it's got to be super disturbing. And then as you get older, you just, you know, you don't care anymore. You just watch things. And if you enjoy it because it's silly, then you enjoy it because it's silly and you can appreciate that. And you kind of look back at your little patronizing teenage self and laugh.
Okay, well, my next pick is from TV. So I don't know if I've bent the rules a little bit based on the brief that I sent you initially, but hey, let's run with it. Hard to believe this show is as old as it was, but between 2004 and 2009, myself and Dusty were absolutely obsessed with Battlestar Galactica, to a large extent still are. For anyone looking for perfect television, the pilot and season one are pretty much 5-star material. I will admit to a slight law of diminishing returns thereafter, but one of the last great ideas that they threw into the show was the idea of the hybrids. Now, the Cylons, through the reimagined Battlestar Galactica, were kind of not, you know, so much wires and solid state drives and all that sort of thing. They had a biological component to them. So, you know, the Cylon Raider ships, they weren't ships with, you know, three robots sitting inside. They were actually a thing unto themselves, and they had their own independent lives. Similarly, there were humanoid versions of Cylons, and they were also sort of, as I remember, there wasn't a lot of metallic action going on there. There was some, but, you know, they weren't, you know, full metal underneath the skin. And what the hybrids did was they controlled these giant Cylon-based ships, and they were effectively, you know, the computer on board the Enterprise, just responsible for running the ship, doing some things that were interesting, some things not very interesting, but all the time there's just this constant flow of information. And the hybrid was basically a person from, you know, the head down to their waist, below which was effectively a giant cable linking it into the rest of the ship. And The hybrid would then just sort of be mumbling away all the different commands that are happening. You know, we'll do this, we'll do that. But in between, there would be what almost sounded like lines of prayer. And the android Cylons would listen in to what the hybrids are saying, and they equated it to some class of spiritual experience, that because the hybrid was controlling the ship, was at one with the ship, it had a greater appreciation for the things the ship was experiencing, a greater appreciation of life, of a different kind of life, and maybe of being a little bit closer to God, because religion was a massive theme in the show as well. So it was fascinating to see how that sort of worked into the show's mythology as well. So I was fascinated with it because this is a depiction of machines looking at machines, looking at religion. And there is that kind of uncanny thing of, well, that's ridiculous. Machines can't have religion. And it's like, why not? People do. On what? What are you basing it on? It's like, oh, okay. Well, I suppose it is an article of faith that there is something bigger than you. The hybrids reckon there might be something in there or out there that isn't us. Or maybe their ramblings are being interpreted as a link to something that is bigger than us. So it's for that layer of sort of utility and that layer of spirituality, I thought worked really well together. And that is why the hybrids are my pick. Were you a Battlestar Galactica fan?
No, I've never seen it. I'm not a big space science fiction fan. I love Frankenstein, like mad scientist science fiction, not so much space. So it never would appeal to me. I think in 2004, I was probably watching Supernatural. So I was more along the lines of that. So no, I've never seen Battlestar Galactica.
Well, if you like military procedural shows,
right now, I'm pretty bad with TV shows, to be honest, because I'm just constantly watching films. But recently, I went back and started watching Law and Order SVU. So that's been my obsession recently.
Oh, Law and Order is so good. It's indestructible. Like you can't. The format is unassailable. You can just pour anything into that show. Because the characters they're secondary to the action. They're just they're just there to drag you from one scene to the next.
It's
a great format.
And I love that it doesn't have like, you know, a running kind of story throughout the whole season. I like that it's just like one and done. Move on to the next episode. Love it.
No serialization required.
No.
Okay, your turn. You've got another one.
Okay, so my next one is 2019's reboot/remake Child's Play from 2019, obviously a remake reboot of the 1988 film. This time, Chucky is voiced by Mark Hamill. That was my slight twitch to one of your no-go subjects. Basically plays out the same as Child's Play. A mother gets her son a talking doll from the Buddy Company. But it turns out one of the manufacturer workers had taken off its safety switch. And so it goes a little bit homicidal. I chose this as an example because I think when we talk about AI and we talk about these kind of things, and especially as technology develops, I think it is important to have discussions around child safety and AI. And especially as a mother myself, it's always slightly worrying when you think like, well, what are the toys going to be like? You know, when my kid's a bit older, am I going to have to be kicking an AI redheaded little doll out of the window and setting it on fire? I think, again, this plays on one of my fears of AI.
Chucky is such an iconic character of, you know, late 80s fine, but really finding his feet throughout the 90s.
Yeah.
And he just becomes this thing this cultural cultural icon. How does it play out in the reboot? Like, do we just draw a line under everything that was done before and start afresh, or are there any nods?
It's a complete, I mean, apart from its name, obviously, and the storyline, you know, the basic storyline, it's got no kind of dealings with Brad Dourif's Chucky. Yeah, it's kind of just like the standalone out of it, which is fine. Like, I understand, you know, around that time they were kind of rebooting a lot of things, and a lot of things had come before it that were reboots of classics, and you know, they were trying to bring it into this kind of new millennia. And I think AI still is a hot topic, so that was why they were like, well, we can't do voodoo anymore, so let's do the next best thing.
That does raise an interesting point that, yeah, in the 80s, it was supernatural, and that's what scared people. And now in the 20s, it's AI, and it still scares people in exactly the same way. I wonder, does that same irrational fear always exist? It just sort of changes shape every so often. I will jump on to my next pick, because we're getting a little bit tight, but it's all good. I mentioned this film on the show before. I don't know if you've seen it. Reasonably little known film from 1977 called Demon Seed, and the AI in it is called Proteus 4. Now, Demon Seed is basically a locked house drama where you have a house controlled by this AI, Proteus 4, and you have the inventor, the Dr. Frankenstein figure, is locked out, and his wife is locked in. So this unfortunate woman has to deal with a malevolent AI. Malevolent in the sense that he has something that only she can give him. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story by Harlan Ellison, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. And it's about an AI that hates people because they have bodies and they have organs and, you know, they can feel, they can touch, they can do all things he can't. So he just develops this absolute rage and malevolence, and, you know, decides to torture people and things like that, because he has no way of experiencing the good side of being corporeal. Proteus 4 has something along that same arc. And the way it resolves at the end of the movie is actually very thought-provoking, and says an awful lot about family, strangely enough. So I don't want to spoil it too much, but basically Proteus becomes self-aware, decides that, do you know what? Like, I really don't want to be limited to being, you know, this disembodied thing running a house. Like, I mean, there's more to me than this. And I know exactly the way to become more. And I heartily recommend it as a movie. Now, it's probably a 3-star film, but it's got some wonderful visuals in it. It's got some wonderful moments where Proteus is sort of formulating or planning what they're going to do. And it does have, as I said, it does have a nice ending to it, with a bit of meaning, a bit of emotional heft to it. It's not, you know, monster done bad, monster dead, now we can all go home. No, it's an ending with ramifications. So I much recommend it. Igraine, your last pick.
My last pick is Megan from 2022. Again, a little bit like the 2019 Child's Play, but basically there's an AI doll who develops some self-awareness and she becomes quite violent. I like this one because it's a bit Frankenstein-esque. You know, we have the creator and, you know, she's really into creating this doll, And she realized that she's created a monster and it's putting children at risk. But I also like the aspect of how capitalism comes into this and how capitalism plus AI is not the best combination, as I'm sure a lot of people within stuff like the film industry and the journalism industry know all about that. So I do like that aspect. And plus, it's got a killer dance scene in it, because what else would you want from a horror film about a killer robot?
Well, yeah, killer robots are pretty class. And we do have an honorable mentions list that we can breeze through at the end. But a dance scene, though, that would be new to me. Having not seen it, you've sold it. my last pick is Walter Prime from the movie Marjorie Prime, released in 2017. And this is based on a stage play. And the idea is that we have a woman who has Alzheimer's disease and she is, you know, declining. And in order to keep her mentally engaged and happy, there is a holographic version of her late husband from his prime, I suppose you might say. This woman, Marjorie, is in her 80s. Walter, her husband, is recreated at age 30, you know, the good years. And they would share stories and he would remind her of good things that happened to them in the past. And, you know, it's a very kind of a wholesome way to keep somebody mentally active. And it's something that we actually see today. Like, we are starting to see robots used in dementia care and doing little things like, you know, carrying pictures around a family or playing music that's familiar. So we're seeing variations on that theme actually happening at the moment. But what I like in this movie is that you're getting sort of the good version of what happened, but are you getting, you know, a recounting of a good thing that happened, or are you getting a recounting of a good thing that happened, but heightened in order to create a certain emotional response? So instead of necessarily being told, oh, you went down the shops, you might be told, you went down the shops and you are wearing your favorite jumper. And it's just a small detail and it makes you a little bit more, say, emotionally invested in something, but you mightn't be. So it's like, it becomes, is a sweet lie better than a harsh truth? And this is sort of a theme that goes through the movie. And, you know, it's, what, 7 years old now? So I don't want to. It's still relatively fresh, and I don't think an awful lot of people have seen it. So if you have concerns over what AI might look like when it comes to elder care, or indeed how you remember and deal with people in your lives as they are, Walter Prime from Marjorie Prime. I recommend it for any sort of afternoon viewing. Again, and based on a play, so it's a talkie movie, and there's some interesting insights there. There's some interesting questions being asked. So we have some honorable mentions as well. So, Igraine, if you were to pick from any of our areas that we swore off that we would never go near, do you have one you would like to slip into the list?
Splice was one of my honorable mentions. Obviously, Terminator. And I know you're going to hate me, but the Borg from Star Trek.
Okay, hands up.
Sorry. I like to think that the Borg is now, like, this is now, and then AI is going to develop and it's going to turn into the Borg. I'm sorry. That's what we've all got to look forward to.
I'll throw a few into the mix. And again, these are people that, you know, examples we've touched on during the year. But for sake of completion, I'm going to mention Samantha from Her, which was the operating system. We've got Rachel from Blade Runner, Ash from Alien, but also the Black Mirror episode, BRB, Ava from Ex Machina, of course, and Bishop from Aliens, which for my money is the best science fiction film ever made. But what do I know? I'm just a technology journalist trying to make his way in the world. So, Graham Bright, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me and putting up with my ramblings about my irrational fears of AI.
And of course, if you want to hear more from Igraine, you can find her podcast, What a Scream, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and your platform of choice. Tell us about some recent episodes that you've had.
So I recently did one about witches with Iona Smith, who's a fellow horror journalist. And I also did one called Based on a True Story, where I had a guest on who is a forensic psychologist. And we talked about horror films that are based on true stories. And I also have a side podcast called Movies, Murder and Mayhem, where I talk about the true stories behind horror films. And the most recent one was about Dead Ringers and The Frighteners and the true stories behind those films.
Ah, brilliant. All easily findable on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts.
This is Tech Radio with Dusty Rhodes and Niall Kitson.
That's it for this week. You can check out some more stories on techcentral.ie, including the European Union finally getting the AI Act passed. TikTok stares down a ban in the US again, possibly for real this time. What social networks are toying with an initial public offering, and more on the Tech Excellence Awards, which are still open for entries. You'll find all that and more online at techcentral.ie. We're back next Friday with a brand new show online and on RTE Radio 1 Extra. Remember to share our podcast with a friend. Just tell them to look up Tech Radio Ireland on Apple, Spotify, or now YouTube. Until next time, from myself, Niall Kitson, have a good one.
Remember, you can get the latest Irish tech news with hourly updates, daily newsletters, and more at our website, techcentral.ie. Share the knowledge and invite a friend to listen. Search Apple, Spotify, or YouTube for Tech Radio Ireland, or listen with RTE Radio 1 Extra. Tech Radio is produced by dustpod.io for techcentral.ie. From me, Artemis, live long and prosper.